This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allowed 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
What's going on, everyone? Jetta Cameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you all for rolling this Monday morning. Well, very eventful weekend. An awful lot to discuss, including an Eagles win yesterday that has led to a lot of conversation about how it went down afterwards. Look, they're 6-2, and it's a four-game winning streak, and it was a wild game. I actually thought it was, in many ways, a very, very good win. We'll talk about it. Unique weekend, obviously, with the Joel situation, the Jason Kelce situation with the guy out there in Penn State. All of it here. 215-592-9494. We'll get into it all today. Rich.
Hello, Joe.
Hello there, Johnny.
The armhole in a shirt is called an arm say.
An arm
or maybe,
say.
Maybe it's pronounced arm sigh.
What
it's
a weird.
A-R-M-S-A-Y-E.
Okay. Well, that's one I didn't know and won't remember. But
yeah, me neither.
But I'll tell you what I did know and will remember. Jags stink and Trevor Lawrence stinks. But let me tell you something. I think I saw this game different than some. So let me just say this right out of the gate. And obviously, everyone, phone line's open for you. I know it was like an all-time weekend to react to. So 215-592-9494 for whichever of the main three things. You know, Joel Marcus Hayes, Jason Kelce, and that jerk, whoever that guy is a jerk. And then the Eagles all on the table. So here let me just start with the Eagles. I was very impressed and largely encouraged by the Eagles yesterday. I really was. First off, the game, which of course was much closer than we would have wanted at the end, was much closer at the end in large part because the referees and the replay booth just handed Jacksonville 7 points. He just gave it to them, and that was a joke. Like, there is no way that that guy touching Saquon Barkley's ankle, foot, lower leg area, whatever the hell it was, there's no way that didn't affect Saquon to fall. Yeah.
Even if it didn't, he touched him. Even if it didn't, he touched him on the way down. Yeah, this is like 101.
Yeah. So I really think the game was too close for our liking, while true, is not being properly represented by many people who were ignoring just the handing of 7 points to the Jags. All right, so that's number one. Number two, Jalen Hurts. I thought he did a lot of really good things in this game, a lot. No turnovers again, obviously, which is terrific, 4 games in a row. His deep ball was, as it often is, outstanding. But he also had a major series of contributions with his legs. I thought it was a really good step forward for Jalen Hurts yesterday. And to me, when you talk big picture, that is a big picture W for the Eagles. So I thought that was significant. Saquon, obviously a stud. We'll talk about that extensively. Devontae, phenomenal. And the defense played really well. I mean, if you look at how Jacksonville scored their points, and again, 7 were handed to them, like, yes, I understand near the end the defense was getting a little leaky until N'Kobe's play. There's no question. But for the most part, and I know Jacksonville doesn't have players, they freaking stink. But for the most part, I thought the defense played a great game. So then we come to Sirianni. Now, I'm going to get to that in a moment, but I want to turn it over to John, 215-592-9494, because there's so much to react to from within this one game. John, talk to me. What are you thinking here?
You're not allowed to say all these nice things about Jalen Hurts. Sure, let's start there. The QB comparison in this game was absurd. When you look at Trevor Lawrence versus... They actually threw up a stat board on this at the end of the game, and it was like a 40 rating to a 132.3 rating. Just not even close to a contest. Jalen Hurts was amazing. Let's not get that lost about yesterday. Jalen continues to grow and improve in this offense, and we can see it. It's very clear. We can see him making the plays when necessary to just deflate a defense with his legs. But also, those throws, he's got rare skills. You don't get to celebrate them because you doubt. And You're on a different platform than I am right now, Joe. Yep. So I love what we saw from Jalen as well. Holy cow, Saquon. I'm worried about 30 touches. I loved Saquon's performance.
Yeah.
30 touches went a little too far for my liking, but I know he's just a warrior. I know he's going to fight. That's too much. We got to dial that back. The Jags had one first down in the first half. You know, when we're talking about our young defenders, they 36 yards of offense with 9:25 remaining in the third quarter. That they had 36 yards of offense, and our defense had three takeaways as well. You know, that's on the strength of youth with Cooper and Quinyon and Jalen Carter and, dare I say, Nakobe Dean making plays all over. And then on the offensive side, you got Jalen, Saquon, Devontae. Hopefully, AJ's okay. Man, some of those plays that we see being made out there, the team's young playmakers, incredible. But they were let down in some cases by hyper-aggression from the head coach in decision-making.
No question.
And I agree with you, Joe. Some of the calls being made out there were just wrong.
By the refs or something?
By the officials.
Yeah, it was ridiculous. Like,
there were a couple calls that I just flat out think were wrong. And that's it. I don't know why they made them the way they made them. And then after review, they still, they went against what I thought was certain. That doesn't make any sense. But let's talk about the decisions.
Let's do it.
That Nick Sirianni, I know it's in the big picture, he left 9 points, however you want to count them, on the board. Let's think about this. Let's think about why is Nick so aggressive? Is it possible that Nick has had so much complication taken away from his role that he's now overcomplicating these decisions now? You know? He's got the decision to go for it or not on fourth down, kick it or not, and then that's his job for the most part. If the play caller no longer, some of those offensive decisions no longer. If I were in that position, might I try to go for it to prove to the guys I believe in them? If my only decisions, my biggest decisions are, hey guys, do I believe in you or not? Wouldn't I personally always opt to show the guys I believed in them?
I don't buy that as much as you're leading on. It's possible. It's possible.
Is it human nature? Is it irresistible pull? I don't know. This is a very unique situation that we have with Nick Sirianni.
It is.
So these decisions, when they're just,
I know.
Encapsulated the way they are,
sure,
they have so much more weight. I don't blame Nick for showing his confidence in the guys with those decisions.
Well, I blame him when he's
but they
over,
were dumb in the big in the big picture. That's the thing.
So
it got over aggressive.
It did. So let me just say this. We'll go through all of them today. Okay, we'll go through them all. Obviously, in the first segment, it's hard to do it all. Let me just tell you where I'm at on the big picture of Nick Sirianni yesterday, as it relates to the decisions. I think there has been some, and I'd say even a large degree, of overreaction by a lot of media members and fans to the bulk of them. Meaning, I think some of the decisions by Nick Sirianni were the right calls. I think some of them were the wrong calls. Just as if, for instance, when the Eagles had a chance to go for a two-point conversion from the one-yard line, I think that's the right decision. I know the announcers made a big deal in the game about a two-score game and a three-score game in the first half. I don't care about a two-score and three-score game in the first half because, of course, you're going to have more points in the second half, and the whole scoreboard is going to get turned upside down many ways, which it did. So I think if you have Jalen Hurts and Saquon Barkley in a good offensive line and you get to get 2 points from the one-yard line in the first half, I want the coach to do that. He did. The play didn't work. So that one I stand by, and there are others.
Yeah, we need to figure out that part. Like, the play not well, that's working a whole, that's a whole repeatedly yeah. in this game. Let's not get away from things like that.
No, I agree. No, that's a whole nother thing, and that's going to be a big one for the Eagles to work on this week. And listen, maybe defenses are making adjustments, and they might have to abandon their approach somewhat there. But, so that one I'm good with. Here's what I did not like at all. Not taking the 3 points in the first half when they had the opportunity on the 4th and 3. I thought that was a bad decision. Now, we also know, and all these games run together, but it was like a week or two, they had a 4th and 4. I wanted him to kick the field goal. A lot of people wanted him to kick the field goal. He went for it. They scored a touchdown. I mean, we do have to keep it real and acknowledge there are times where he's aggressive. We don't like it in the moment, and then it worked. Guys, I didn't like in the moment, whether you call it a Nick Sirianni thing, a Kellen Moore thing, or a Jalen Hurts thing, I didn't like in the moment when Jalen Hurts threw a deep ball, deep-ish, it was about 25 yards or so, to the back of the end zone of Devontae Smith. As that ball's through the air, I'm saying to myself, oh, no. Just check that down, get a field goal, try to extend the lead a bit here. It worked.
I thought he was throwing it away in the moment.
James, I did too.
100%.
Yeah, so.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, yeah, it was like I thought he was throwing it out the back of the end zone pretty much.
More likely that it was being thrown away than not. Yeah, so now. I did not like the field goal decision, not field goal in the first half. I did not like the 57-yard field goal in the fourth quarter. Didn't like it. Don't like it. Don't think I'll ever like it. I mean, first off, he's got to start recognizing there's a big difference between 57 and 47. I don't care how good Jake Elliott is. It's not exactly a high percentage kick. All right, it's really not. And he was all over the place yesterday with some of these decisions. But again, I will say this. I think the announcers set in motion some of the reaction by being so hyper-focused on the two-point conversions that it made people think there were like 9 different bad decisions. I don't think it was that many, but there were a couple. They were whoppers, and it almost cost the Eagles the game. This will be an interesting one to see how people react to the game. You know, yesterday, absorbing stuff post-game, it struck me like a lot of people were not in a particularly good mood about it. I was a lot more upbeat than what I heard from others. But we'll see where you stand. 215-592-9494. I mean, I thought for the bulk of the game, the Eagles actually looked like a good team. And I think in some of these wins this year, they hadn't looked like a good team. I was pretty impressed yesterday.
Well, it is a process by which the team with new offensive and defensive coordinators, they get better.
Yep.
They really do.
They do at times. It looks like this team is.
There's a growth
that occurs.
And this team, especially after that bye, it's like there was a major refocus and there needed to be a major refocus. Maybe there needed to be a major attitude adjustment and it got a little more intimate than guys would have liked. And, you know, it got real. But that's what they needed. Nick Sirianni and these coaches, for all the poor decisions that Nick made yesterday, he did get this team headed in the right direction.
I agree.
And 4 games in a row now, they've come out on top. I do think there were plays that got taken away from us yesterday that we're annoyed about the other things. Let's remember that we played better than that final, you know, tally suggests. The 5 points, Nick Sirianni is responsible for some of that. But I would have made a lot of those decisions, too. And I love a coach that shows aggressiveness. I also think that he can be somewhat of a sympathetically viewed figure here because his decisions are all now, hey, Nick, do you believe in the team? And what is he supposed to do?
Well, it's not about belief.
Yes, it sends something. It sends some sort of message to his guys when he goes for it on 4th down. You know, when he believes in them on fourth and three instead of kicking it. So the guys on that offense are like, yes, yes.
Yeah, but
he gets it. But I'll say this, the coach believes we're going to score no matter what.
I hear that, but if he punted at the end of the game, which I thought he should have, you can say that's believing in the defense. I believe in my punter to put the ball at the 10-yard line. I believe in my defense to keep the other team from going 90 yards. I mean, that's another way to believe in your team, for what it's worth.
I understand, and my personal preference, I like an offensively-minded guy.
Okay. All right,
so I can't complain too much.
All right, calls on all of this. 215-592-9494. We're also going to get shortly here to what Jalen said after the game about the win. Let's go to Keith in Germantown kicking us off. Good morning, Keith.
Hey, good morning. How you doing? Go Eagles. We are doing it up.
That's right,
Keith.
You
know what I've noticed over these past couple of weeks? It's not watching the Eagles win. It's the excitement on the field that they're doing. It's like you're waiting for something to happen every time Barkley gets the ball.
Well, for sure with him. Look, he's an all-timer. I mean, it's very comparable to when T.O. got here. It's very I don't think the team's as good, obviously. But it's a similar level of just
the
ridiculous impact.
The player is
he's the
that
best
good.
We've ever seen in that position. I feel super confident.
There's no question.
Westbrook.
No, he's above.
Westbrook, Shady. He's just better.
He's above all of them. And I love those guys. He's above all of them. Go ahead, Keith.
And you know what the funny thing? The funny thing about this is they're really having fun out there, and that's the part that you have to understand about them winning. They haven't. All the stuff they're doing on the field look like they were doing in practice.
Well, listen, they are vibing in a good way. Keith, appreciate the call, and they're picking up W's.
It's crazy to watch. We lead the NFL in those 40-yard plus touchdown plays. It's crazy to watch some of these plays.
Yeah.
I thought that Devontae Smith touchdown. I thought at the time when I saw that, like, I've never seen anything like this.
It was phenomenal.
This might be the greatest throw and catch combo I've ever seen. Like, in the moment, that's what I'm thinking. And then it's like, okay, there's a lot of great throw and catch combos. But he was so confident to just stick that one hand up. Like, who on earth is that confident in his catches? Odell Beckham was, and it was like the most famous catch we ever saw that one time, way back when. That was like on par with that sort of just incredible, confident, and Devontae, we do not give him the credit he deserves. He almost single-handedly got things back on track when they got almost, they almost veered. Third quarter, end of the third quarter.
Yeah, it got sticky.
That drive was him and him.
So, look, he was great. He's a stud. He's
but
an incredible,
incredible
player.
Throws by Jalen as well.
And, I agree.
And we need that rapport. And geez, let's you know keep our fingers crossed on AJ because we know how it affects the offense if we have to go without him for an extended period.
That's an interesting issue. And obviously, with Dallas, with both Dak and CeeDee Lamb, we'll see their status as we get closer to the game. Let's go to Chris in Burlington right now. Chris, good morning.
Good morning, fellas. How you guys making out?
Doing awesome, good, man. I'm excited. I'll say this, Chris. I feel like I'm excited about the Eagles for the first time all year. Even some of the past wins, I just wasn't feeling it. This was the first time I really thought it got exciting.
It was fun. It was a tale of two tapes, I think. Obviously, the first half was entirely different than the second. But the frustrating part is, I think, time and time again, we're all excited. We all love to when you take the opportunity to try to capitalize on fourth and three or when the ball is on our end of the field. But then there's common sense, right? And common sense is it's a game of chess many times, not checkers. And I'm still of the belief that you got to take the points when the opportunities present themselves. No matter what league you're in, you want to go from high school up to the NFL.
Well, hold on, Chris. Hold on. Let me just jump in before you continue. So I don't think your blanket statement is wise. Every situation is different. So, for instance, did you feel Philly special that the Eagles should kick a field goal? I'm just curious. Did you think they should kick a field goal?
You know what? Hindsight's 2020. It's nice when things go the right way, right?
Because
that's
Chris,
the difficult part about being a head coach.
It is.
When they don't go the right way,
that's right.
Then they look at you. And I respect that. But then in my mind, there's common sense. Fourth and one, no-brainer, right? Fourth and three, you got to take the points, right?
You don't have to, but I thought he should have.
But you were in a position, you were in the driver's seat, right? You were in a position where taking those 3 points, in hindsight, 20-20, but you're in the driver's seat, take the points, and allow your defense, who balled out yesterday, right? Take some of those turnovers, obviously, you know, went their way, but ride the wave, right? Your defense is playing that well in a game against an inferior offense, put it on them, right? And how often can we say that when we want the game to be put on our defense? As of late, it's a nice to have.
Yeah. Chris, I got you, and I appreciate that call. I think that's I think it's well said on a lot of fronts. 215-592-9494. Coming up, the three amazing plays. If you haven't heard how Merrill and Mike called them, and they were all great calls, the three just ridiculous plays. And that's not even talking about the Dotson play, which is really good also. But obviously we're talking about the Saquon leap, we're talking about Devontae's catch, and we're talking about N'Kobe's interception. As Merrill and Mike called them, you'll hear that coming up. Plus, Jalen Hurts after the game on the win. We'll get into the Embiid and Jason Kelce situation. Well, good morning to you. What a wild weekend on a lot of fronts. You know, we'll play the big three from yesterday of the amazing, remarkably athletic, incredible plays that really stood out yesterday. And as Merrill and Mike called them, you'll hear that. 215-592-9494. By the way, James is telling me a moment ago, the great Quincy Jones passed away. I guess that must have happened in the overnight. And legendary career, obviously, from the world of music and Just a really significant figure in American history with all that he did.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm really glad that the We Are the World documentary came out, I guess it was this year, earlier this year, maybe it was last year, whenever it was, that chronicled his involvement along with Lionel Richie and others of putting that together. But of course, that's just one of so many things he was, and John, you as a big music fan, I mean, Quincy Jones passing away, that's a big one.
Quincy Jones, certainly. I mean, for me, who grew up like just fixed on MTV and everything else, Quincy Jones was the backdrop to everything that was going on. Yes, Quincy Jones, sorely missed, Joe.
Yeah, no question about it. So wanted to pass that news along to you. Let's also give you a chance to hear Jalen Hurts after the game. I really was yesterday very impressed by Jalen. I still think that they are being a little careful with having him do too much in the passing game, and I think that's the right decision. But as they are, you know, Seth Joyner had a theory about 2 weeks ago, dial him back to try to kind of bring him back. And I think that's what they're doing. And I think it's been pretty damn effective so far. And Jalen made some big time throws and runs in the game. Let's listen to Jalen.
Wait. Before the Jalen, mm-hmm. I totally agree with you. The Jalen amazement
yep.
Continues. I got to mention mm-hmm. with the Quincy Jones thing.
Yeah.
I didn't realize we do have to stop and remind everyone that some of the things that he produced will never, ever be replicated.
Well, rattle it off. What's the list?
Just think of when you go back to the Michael Jackson anthology, essentially, some of the songs that like I've told you, I know that they will never, ever, like, Billie Jean will never be out of my top five because it's just impossible. there will never, ever be five songs better than that. But Billie Jean, he produced Billie Jean. Yep. He produced, you know, Rock With You, Beat It. Beat It, man. Mm-hmm. We Are the World. We talked about We Are the World, how amazing that was. And the that video that recently came out, you know, just going back and how just off Bob Dylan was, how interesting all that was, how amazing it was that that could happen. Quincy Jones was a big reason why that could happen.
No question.
Relationships Jones, and
bringing,
the world,
bringing people
Michael
together.
Michael Jackson bringing his gift to the world. That was the positive stuff with Michael.
Yeah.
That was amazing. But then also, so you just like, It's My Party. Think of the song, It's My Party. It's My Party and I'll Cry If I Want To.
That's like, him too?
That's Quincy Jones.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
You're talking a lifetime. Go all the way back. What year was that? 1963. Go all the way back to stuff that you would not think
I would not have known that.
Any part of, Quincy Jones did it all, Joe.
All right, let's get to Jalen Hurts after the game talking about certain aspects of the W.
I think it was a great effort in the end of the game. You know, I think it came down to that. I have to watch the film to really assess it. I think situationally we could have been better. I think we could have executed better in some situations, handled some situations a little better. But, you know, I just can't get off of N'Kobe and the play he made at the end of the game. It's a hell of a play, a big-time moment.
Unbelievable play by N'Kobe. All right, we're going to get to the audio of that, as Merrill called it, to wrap up the game yesterday in just a moment.
He said nothing there at all, but that sounded like very confident Jalen.
Yeah.
He knew he'd just done a good job.
I totally agree. Totally. Let's go to Jimmy right now. Jimmy, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing really well, Jimmy.
A lot of positives to take from yesterday's game. As the great Herm Edwards says, you play to win the game. So I wish it was a little more comfortable, but you know, we're 6-2, and I really feel like this team is built for the playoffs, which is exciting. I do think that the big question mark is at the head coach, and you know, the decision making by Sirianni, I think it's going to lead to problems. Like, I think that 4th-and-4 where they didn't kick the field goal against the Falcons cost them the game. I think some of the decisions in this game yesterday almost cost them the game. And I understand if you want to be aggressive, if you're playing the Chiefs or the Lions, because you probably have to score 30 points to beat those teams.
You know, I agree with this point, Jimmy. I think it's a great point you're making here. I totally agree with you. It's like it strikes me like the analytics sheet, he uses it as a catch-all against all teams, same circumstances, when they're not the same circumstances.
What he did yesterday was unnecessary
it was.
In almost every aspect, because as the caller points out, you go into halftime, what, it could have been like 20-0? Is that what it had if he had kicked the field goal on the extra point?
Yes, 20.
That team's dead in the water.
Yeah.
You know, you gave them life by keeping them in it.
No, I agree with that. But, Jimmy, I will say this. I think the announcers created a false narrative that it was a mistake to go for the two-point conversions, because I think they were the right decisions. I mean, the first one, I think there was a first one. I'd have to look them all up.
When they were up 60-0, he went for two after the penalty on the Jets.
Like, let me put it this way, Jimmy. If I have Jalen Hurts and Saquon,
pushes worked, it would have been a different story.
Yeah.
And that therein lies a problem. Like,
that's a whole other
issue.
Like,
we need to fix certain aspects of what went on, and let's not lose sight of that.
I agree with that. So, Jimmy, I think your point is good, though. I want him to feel the game and the opponent more than I sense he does at times.
Yeah, that's Joe, you hit it the nail on the head. Like, obviously, one of our best memories as a franchise is when Peterson was super aggressive. because he was playing the best quarterback ever. I mean, we scored 41 points and we almost lost.
That's right.
Tom Brady threw for 500 yards. Like, the Falcons don't have Tom Brady. The Jaguars don't have Tom Brady. If you're playing Mahomes and Andy Reid, or you're playing the Lions, who look amazing, you got to score 30 points.
Jimmy, I love your call. I think you sum up a lot really, really well. Great call, buddy. 215-592-9494. All right, let's get to the guided door and window, winner to the weekend. Obviously, there was a lot going on. Eagles, the main topic, but some other things to address. All of it brought to us by Guided Door and Window. As we look back to what happened by window or door, get the second and half off with 18 months interest-free financing. Call Guided Door and Window. Call them today, 1-877-GO-GUIDA, or visit GOGUIDA.com. All right, let's go in sequential order, because it went from Joel.
A lot happened this weekend. Like, wow.
All right, James, take first crack at it. Joel or Kelsey, just what's going through your mind?
Man, so many thoughts on all this. I'll start with Joel. I think that's a bigger deal and a bigger story. I mean, the Kelsey thing we can get into. But, I mean, Joel, I mean, he got into a confrontation with a reporter in the locker room. And I think there are issues on both sides. I don't think what Marcus wrote was okay.
I agree with
you. I had a real problem with that. So I understand Joel being upset about that. I thought that was out of bounds. But also, man, Joel, like, you got to be able to control yourself in that situation. And the press conference prior to it, too, with the, I gave my body for this city. It's like, no, man, you gave your body for like $500 million, okay? Like, so I think there's issues all in this thing on many levels. So I understand why Joel was upset, but it can't excuse what he did either.
No, I agree with that. So, all right, let's Friday comments. Here's where I'm at on that. I thought he was reasonable on one hand and totally unreasonable on another. So reasonable for him to say that he doesn't like when people say he doesn't want to play. I think that is fair for him to say.
I agree with that.
Come on, that's nonsense. And I think that narrative has been said, and I don't think that's proper. Also, his criticism of Marcus Hayes on Friday, I thought, was also totally proper, because I thought Marcus's column, you know, a week or two ago, was improper and totally unfair to bring a brother that has passed away into a conversation. Now, listen, Marcus could have made the point without tying the brother into it, and could have said, hey, you know, Joel has talked about that things are different since his son has been born, that he views things differently, but it looks to me that things are the same. He could have said that. He did not in any way need to tie in the son being named after the brother who passed away close to a decade ago. That was a really unwise move. And so I can totally, totally understand and empathize with Joel's immense frustration there. And I think he was right to express it. But I thought on Friday he was not reasonable to, let's put it this way. He loses the benefit of the doubt on things like being in shape when so often he hasn't been in shape. Like, do we really know what's happened the last 2 months? We don't.
No.
But he loses benefit of the doubt when obviously there have been plenty of times where he has fallen out of shape quickly or not been in proper shape. And then the other thing about his Friday comments, there was no ownership of his or the team's failure to properly alert fans that he was going to miss a chunk of time. I mean, you can't act like that's not a huge part of the storyline here. So that, John, give me your thoughts on all that so far, because I know we're doing a lot all at the same time. But what hit you from that?
Well, Marcus Hayes absolutely hit a nerve with the article. Like you said, I agree with you. That point where Arthur, his brother, who passed away, is brought into the story.
Not
when he's brought into the narrative, I understand why Joel has a problem with that.
By the way, the editor's got to get dinged here also.
Exactly.
I don't know who that is.
Yeah.
But
I was shocked.
Right?
Like, I'm floored that an editor let that through. Like, I'm speechless.
I mean, who is that
I
person?
I am speechless.
Right? Rhea, that's a disgrace.
I was surprised at that because, like, I agreed with, 90% of that column, because that's my feelings on Joel. When I read it, I cringed.
Yeah, totally.
You know, it's just because... I'm sure it's still traumatic for him that he lost his brother at such a. But this is where the Sixers, as a company, they're just a clown show.
Yep, I know.
Because they knew Marcus was there on Saturday. They needed to get those two in a room,
100%,
and let them scream at each other, hash it out. It just, it was bad.
Another failure of the Sixers PR.
Yeah.
Another.
Yeah.
Because they absolutely, you're right, should have done it privately, one-on-one, and clearly not let it happen in front of all these people, and then not have a team employee, as has been reported, say, hey, we don't want anyone to report this.
Yeah. It's the whole locker room's reporters.
Come on.
Like, seriously? Like, to your point, Joe, the gall of them to say don't report this, to even think to ask that is insanity.
Yeah, no, it is. And I'll say this on the Joel thing regarding whatever level of physicality it was, and it's hard for us to know. It sounds like it was a shove, and not a huge and hard shove, but a shove.
Can't put hands on anybody.
So, shouldn't have happened, but... But
he
things do escalate.
In a way.
No, he shouldn't. But there is escalation in the world.
I don't care how out of hand or off color he felt the comments were. It was a place to get physical.
I know, but I also will say it doesn't make Joel the worst guy in the world or anything like that.
You're right.
As you point out, John, a nerve was touched. The situation escalated.
And we don't know what happened.
A tragic thing that happened in his life. Yeah. Like, they're referring to, like, a all-time tragedy that happened to this man.
Correct.
Like sometimes with emotion, I can understand.
That's my point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's where I'm at on that. All right, the Jason Kelce. James, you let us off on the Joel one. Why don't you lead us off?
Oh, great. Yeah.
Look, spur conversation, James.
I think the Kelce one is a lot more of a gray area for me. Like, the way it is out there now, and look, I think it's another situation where I think if Jason could do it again, he probably wouldn't do what he did.
I would agree with that.
Would be my guess.
I agree with that.
But I also have a lot of sympathy and empathy for what Jason was going through, and what that kid said to him was outrageous.
Totally
over line. I have no problem with him throwing his phone. I actually really don't in that situation. All the stuff that happened after, you know... Again, I think if you could ask Jason, he would go back and say I would have handled it differently. But I have a lot more sympathy for Jason in this case. Like, it must be really hard. And he has to do better. It's his, like, he's a famous person now. He has to be able to step back and say, I can't let my emotions get the best of me in these situations. But I have a really hard time being upset with him after that.
Yeah, so, I'm certainly not upset with him. I mean, let me be clear. First off, we love Jason. We know Jason, obviously. He's part of our show. We all love him. And tempers flare at times in life. He's a great guy. I admire him a ton. I totally admire his decision to make sure that jerk's comment doesn't go
unchecked.
The methodology with which he checked it, obviously, now that becomes, you know, where you run into a problem. And it'll be really interesting, you know, either before Monday Night Football coverage tonight or on Monday Night Football coverage tonight, you know, if he addresses it and how he addresses it. But look, that kid,
if I was that kid's parents,
I'd be mortified.
I would be like, you know, I would be so horrified. And the fact of the matter is, as you just mentioned, how big of a he can't walk through crowds anymore without security. The way it is.
I think that's a big thing here. And, you know, he I'm sure he's thought about that, but wants to be him. But he is at that point now where he's going to need some help.
You don't think that's going to spur other idiots to do stuff to him?
I totally agree.
I mean,
it's so sad.
I totally agree.
This is ruining what was, you know, trying to be this magical relationship between Jason Kelce. Now, this is a Hall of Fame athlete, Hall of Fame just retired athlete who's willing to put himself out there in a way that you rarely see it. And this type of thing is going to threaten that, you know, that desire that Jason has to even put himself out there.
This
is going to ruin what is wonderful and beautiful, and it is so ugly.
Yeah.
And I mean, I can't imagine the type of pressure that he is, the scrutiny that he feels, the pressure that he is under. I can't imagine. I mean, you see, like, you can't even talk about what's going to happen legally with all that stuff. I hate to think about that sort of thing.
Well, how about this? Does the kid... What's the if he's a student? I don't know if he's a student, but let's just say he's a student. I mean, I don't want to say. Let's just for a moment.
Yeah, it could be a friend visiting. We don't know.
Totally.
It could be anything.
But if he's a student and Penn State identifies who that kid is, like, what's the discipline for that kid? Now, I'm not a big cancel culture guy. Let me be clear, but I mean, that...
there might be rules in the student bylaws where you know, he might not, they might not be able to punish him for something like that. We don't. It could go either way,
or he could get thrown out.
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, that's like, so I don't know. I mean, I don't know what happened. All right,
look, the fact is, a guy like Tyrese Maxey, we celebrate him because he has never stopped like putting himself out there and giving himself and being upbeat and just almost joyous, it seems. The Jason Kelce experience has been one of like sharing and openness at a new premium level that we have taken for granted in some cases. I hope it's not taken away because it's gotten so out of control. It's got like everyone loves him so much. They can't resist attacking
Here's what we know. Taylor Swift couldn't walk through that crowd. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan couldn't walk through that crowd. Now, is Jason Michael Jordan or Taylor Swift? No, but he's a lot closer to them than, you know, Joe DeCamera or Sam or Rhea or James or John Ritchie. Like, he's on a different level now. All right, I want to play some audio. So your chance to react to all of that, obviously complex situations, 215-592-9494. I do want to play the audio of the three just amazing Eagles play. We'll move through them quickly because we got a lot coming up, including the Novacare injury report soon. But let's listen in sequential order, Saquon's amazing play as called here by Merrill and Mike.
Hurts in the gun. He backpedals. He's looking, still looking. He fires it out in the flat to Barkley, who beats one man, spins past another, leaps over a third, and comes down at the 30.
What was that? I've never seen that move, and I've been watching football all my life.
Well, he did that. That to show off to Shady McCoy.
He's never done this. No one's ever done this. He hurdles a guy backwards. How do you jump over a guy backwards?
He did.
What am I watching?
It's so good. It's a great call by Merrill and Mike. It really is. By the way, it may be the greatest play ever by an Eagle, to which we ask you this question. Which play was more impressive? This is our Twitter poll question of the day today, brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Check out Armin's selection of quality one-owner pre-owned vehicles at ArminChevy.com. That's ArminChevy.com. Together, let's drive. And a lot of really impressive plays through the years, but Randall's TD versus Buffalo may be the best ever. Maybe until yesterday. Which play was more impressive? A, Saquon's play yesterday. B, Randall's 95-yard TD where he eluded Bruce Smith in the end zone in 1990 versus Buffalo.
You're killing me.
That's a tough one. All right.
You are killing me. Right. Randall's my favorite.
It's a fun poll, so we'll see where people vote on that today. All right, let's also get to the next of the amazing trilogy of plays yesterday. This, of course, would be Jalen Hurts and Devontae.
Calcaterra moves to his right. Here goes Hurts, going for the end zone. Devontae Smith, he caught it one-handed.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't know if
what
he stayed. He's
Smitty.
In! He's in!
Oh, my
one
goodness.
One hand! I don't know how he did it. I don't know how he did it and stayed in.
Smitty is unbelievable.
I think Mike Quick or Merrill might win drop of the week with some of these calls. These are really good calls. And now let's get to how the game ended. Another great call and a great play.
Lawrence, back. Lawrence looks, firing for the end zone. Intercepted! Intercepted to Kobe Dean! He picks it off of the end zone. No flags! The Eagles are going to escape!
He's going for it. The Ernest Johnson down the left side. N'Kobe Dean, sticky covers, as I just mentioned, and N'Kobe Dean pulls it away from Johnson.
The Kobe Dean saved the game.
It's great,
the
man.
The Kobe Dean.
It's so good.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.